Turn with me, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. The book of Daniel, chapter 6. The book of Daniel, chapter 6, beginning our reading this evening at verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Verse 4, then the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel, coming and concerning the kingdom, for they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither there was any error or fault found in him. For as much as he, Daniel, was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Jesus, we love you. We're thankful, God, tonight once again for your presence, for the Holy Ghost that's in our soul, for your protection about all. Ask your Lord to bless your word now. Let it go forth one more time. Let it accomplish where you sent it tonight. We'll quickly give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Tonight I want to share with you a message titled, Jesus Called Them Faithful. Jesus called them faithful. For the past 20 years here in Williams Lake, and for the past 37 and a half years, it has been I who is held as being the greatest of attributes that any child of God in their lives could ever hope to possess, which is none other than their being labeled as, or, and they're being called faithful. It's my belief when this life is over and we come to the place where we stand before Jesus Christ and give an account, that the faithful are going to be the ones who receive the highest of rewards. Looking back, I grew up in a single-parent home as a young man, and the only good advice that my dad at that time had ever given to me was, son, no matter what kind of a person you become in your life, when it comes to your word, more than anything else, hold on to that, your word, and keep it as true to you in concerns to the very depths of your soul. See, it was my dad, along with his siblings, who grew up in a time when it was said that a man's word was as good as his bond. Property was sold. Houses were bought. Exchanges were made, all under the utterance of a verbal agreement and sealed often with that of a handshake. All right, Jake, the next 150 acres I'm going to sell to you for such and such. And there they stood and they agreed to the contract. They shook each other's hand and they expected that contract to be fulfilled. You know, I'm going to sell you the house and I'm going to give you all my cattle and the horses and all the animals that I have, and at the end of the harvest season, you're going to pay me back as you owe me, and you're going to pay for what you bought. And they shake their hands and shook their hands and they walked away. See, when considering such a thought of an agreement today, if it is you who would quickly be the one who'd say the words, not likely. The reason is because in this world in which we live, the number of those whom you could trust with such a bond and that of an agreement with another person's word and that of a handshake, well, in many cases, all I'd say is good luck. And I hope you know really what you're doing. That's a big deal that you just shook on, that you trusted them with. So the reason for this today is simply because people have changed. And the existence of the form of ethics and that of a standability of another's word, well, it just isn't the same as it used to be. Today, people seek contracts and signatures, and they often enact a lawyer's services to ensure whether the contract or the agreement that has been made is legally binding on all the parties involved. See, tonight my bid is to fast-track this thought of agreements and contracts into that of the church world. Well, I'm afraid to say tonight that among the many, the fact of who it is that they in their lives claim to be and who it really is that they, of whom they are referring to, are, you know, Christian. God's people. Again, it's our world, and it is this generation of souls who have come up and who wear so many different labels and who take any number of stands when it comes to God and to His Word, that a person in seeking the real McCoy often is they who have to go beyond the open declaration, and they have to study the fine print for themselves really hard. And I know who you say you are, but it appears that the credentials that you claim to be holding is what I consider to be up for question. I heard you at the coffee table, and I saw you in the supermarket. And the other night, I actually saw you in a place I'd never expect to see you before. And it's your reputation that's following you. I know what you told me you do. I know you say you go to church, and I know you told me that you believe in God, but I'm sorry. I've got my doubts. You see, even in Jesus' day, this thought for us is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. Verses 21 through 23. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, it's where Jesus declares, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." It's in these few verses of scriptures in the book of Matthew that Jesus is one who illustrates for us that not everyone who lays claim to being his truly are his. Because sad to say, many are simply fakes. The Bible says, another scripture says, you'll know them by their fruits. I don't have, our pastor from old time past used to say, if you have to put it on you to let people know you're a Christian, you ain't got it in you, don't worry. They'll figure it out whether you're wearing it or not. See, we're living in a world that almost on a daily basis seems to be losing its ethics and its morals, along with the authenticity of which lies in the fact of people, Christians today, really being who it is that they say in their lives what they're claiming to be. I don't know you. I don't recognize your call and your stand. And I believe it is for this reason that it's in my own personal life, my desire more than anything else at the end of my earthly existence, when it is I who stands before the very God for the past coming up 38 years wants to be the one who hears the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and not the words, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." See, as it is the world around us, and even those who at one time who laid claim to the same or to that of a similar heritage as many of us do in this 21st century, the sad fact is that we're becoming fewer and farther in between. And that it is why that it's I who now more than ever before feels like it is those of us who continue to hold onto the moral stand and that of the biblical principles, along with the stand of that biblical standard of separation from this world, along with the things of this world. We are they who in our bids, in our lives, who must seek more than we've ever had to before to hold on to, as well as to seek to maintain at all costs the declaration and that of the true calling of we in our lives being noted as they who remain and who have remained faithful. In the book of Luke, chapter 21, in verse 34, Luke 21:34, it's I who believes has, that Jesus himself has given to us as his people a very stark warning to all of us who are living in these end times. You see, through the words of Luke and his gospel that Jesus says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unaware. I believe that there are two things that remain paramount, ladies and gentlemen, in the lives of we who claim to hold the truth and righteousness. Number one is that we remain and we are they that hold fast to our stand as a people of God, being real Christians. And secondly, again, more than anything else, that all of us in our lives do everything humanly possible to maintain and to retain this status in life right up until Jesus comes and returns for us by being faithful. I want to be marked. I want to be called. I want to be chosen. I want to be faithful. I want to be the one that Jesus Christ, when he comes, he says, you belong to me. I called you out of this world. As the world around us, ladies and gentlemen, grows darker, they who are looking for the light or for those who have held true to their God, it's going to be people who are going to be the ones who will seek for those who have and for those who hold the truth. And will in their lives will also desire to discover for themselves how that it is they and their families, their friends, can be saved. Amen. You got the goods. I want to hear what you got to say. I want to listen to what message you proclaim. Another reason is I believe this to be so vital to that of our Christian walk is because when it's all said and done and it is we, you, who passes down the hallway of life and you're called upon to stand before Jesus Christ and to give an account for your soul. It is the faithful and it is they who in their lives who remained faithful who are going to be the ones to walk upon those streets of gold. They're going to behold the walls of jasper and those gates of pearl. It is a psalmist who writes in the book of Psalms, chapter 101. Psalms 101 and verse 6. Psalms 101 verse 6. Here he writes, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. In 78 verses of the scripture throughout both the Old Testament and the New, it is you who will find the word faithful. And this term is used in reference to that of the people, as well as in concerns to God, who in calling for us to be faithful. See, it's he himself, God, who is nothing less and never would be considered anything less than his God being faithful. He's not a God that says, do as I say and not as I do. But he's a God that shows himself as an example. He's a God that sets forth that path. He's the one that draws the line and says, walk in it. Walk perfect before me. Faithfulness and being faithful in your walking with God is your ticket, I believe, to eternal life with Jesus Christ. As it is Jesus who in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and the second portion of verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and the second portion of verse 10, Jesus declares to us, to all of us, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Some of you might say, well, Pastor, you know, why do you feel it's necessary to preach to us and speak to us on the subject title of our being called faithful? Like, what's the deal? The reason is because in these end times, I believe the greatest tool of both deception and destruction that Satan will wield against we as a people of God is the fact of our being and our being faithful unto the end. That's what he's going to do. He's going to put us on shaky ground if he can. Instead of being built on the rock, you'll be built on sand. What it is that I'm saying tonight is never more in my past nearing 38 years have I witnessed such a sifting and an eroding of that of the old past and that of the safety and the landmarks that were made and had been set for us by our Christian forefathers. I'm not saying to you tonight that I'm against modernization, but what I am trying to bring across to you is how that some within and among our very ranks are, and they have chosen to throw caution to their wind in their bid to fit in with a failing world, one that is failing all around them in the name of modern religion and a desire, shall I say, to throw their doors open so that the world feels comfortable in the church. As there remains to be nothing other than walls that separate either, as is the world has nothing to do other than to choose to just stand there as they are, when it took years for God and the holy men of God who had set for us the path and the guidelines that were to remain unmoved and unchanged. Just come on in. You know, go ahead. Feel welcome, unchanged, and at home. Wrong. We serve a holy God who speaks to us from a holy book, who's looking for a holy people that he will one day take to a holy heaven. When the world feels at home with no sense of change, there's a problem in the church. See, in my own perception and feeling in doing this and allowing that spirit to come in, this is that some are choosing to take the sacred calling wherein God had called for us to remain faithful unto the end. And it is some who, instead of becoming those who in the name of growth and progress, they're casting their pearls before the swine and they're trading the marking of what God's church and the sand should be forever held. Thereby they open the door wide to the world around them so that being able to distinguish between the world and the church, it's getting harder and harder to be able to do. It was Joshua in the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. It was Joshua who stood before the people of his day, a people who were teetering between their leaving, their serving the God that had been the one to deliver them out of the Egyptian bondage and slavery, by their going back to their lives that they had lived before. They were the ones who were then living without God. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, he stands and he calls out to their reason. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. What he was saying was, come on, people, are you going to choose to remain to be the ones who will not waver in your faithfulness to the God who had delivered you? Or will you now turn and will you walk away from your only hope and the true freedom by following the paths of those who were before the flood and who now await the coming judgment of the God that they had turned their backs upon? In a relationship style, how many would say, you know what, flirt around and play around and then come back home to me and I'll receive you? I don't know very many women and I don't know very many men would take on that kind of a stand with their beloved spouse. And so we think, well, you know, God says, well, go ahead and fool around and play with my gospel and play with my truth and be unfaithful and live like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world, and when you come back to me, I'll accept you. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. See, the people on that day, they responded in verse number 16 of Joshua 24, and they said this, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. See, on that day, it was the people before Joshua who had chosen not to trade their riches for rags, not to cast aside in their bid to cease in following after their flesh, and not God. And that their place one day to be able to be with God for all of eternity would not become forfeited. I want to live for God. I want to be faithful. I want to hear him say, well done. See, what we're seeing all around us from almost every quarter are those who are or who have been selling out, in my opinion, their birthright for the favor of gaining the crowds and for their being able to fatten up their coffers. When along with it, all of this, it is they who either knowingly or unknowingly were also passing off that of their initial vow and that of their calling to be and to remain faithful for nothing other than a rotten crown, instead of being the ones to attain a golden crown from the God who died on Calvary so that they in their lives could have been and had been redeemed. I believe it is this pandemic that's going to hold within it the proof in the pudding, so to speak. Meaning they who will choose to remain faithful will do exactly that. In their serving, in their servitude, in their giving, as well as in their Christian living. And those who, on the other hand, will be they who will seize this opportunity to cater to their flesh and will cheaply be the ones to sell off their God-given birthright in view of their newly found freedom. And whether or not it's they or even you who say that you believe it or not, what it means and what it will mean when it's all said and done is that they who chose the worldly road will become the ones who in their lives who have sold out and will have lost out their being able to be called by Jesus Christ faithful. I don't want to lose that call. I don't want to lose that title. I don't want to lose that calling. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. It's not up for sale. It doesn't have an empty mark on it. It stands secure. This truth is not for sale. As the world sits back and it watches what the people of God and the church during this pandemic are doing as a witness and as a testimony before them all, I believe in like manner, as was found in the account of the three Hebrew children who refused to eat the king's meat in the book of Daniel chapter 1. I'm asking tonight, could it be we who, the end time church, who need to be the ones to examine ourselves to see whether or not it is we or some and even all who are or who have that are beginning to sell out the stand that we had taken as some choose and have chosen to partake of what the world offers and an option. You got to do this, man. You want to reach the world and you got to let it down and throw up in the doors and just, you know, look like them, act like them. They'll all come in. Broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leads unto righteousness. Could it be that one day we, in doing so, opening up the doors and throwing caution to the wind, will also forfeit our heavenly crown? You see, Jesus called them faithful. So what exactly does the word faithful mean? Well, to be faithful, it means to be true, to be authentic. Faithful means to be loyal. To be faithful is to be devoted, trustworthy, to be dependable, committed, and steadfast. And I'm not suggesting that we as a church go back to the days of the horse and buggy, thereby not using modern technology in our desire to reach our world. But what I am saying is this. If it is we in this time, in our time when it comes to our walking with God, and we are the ones, any choose to embrace and to take upon themselves the attributes as well as the qualities of the world in which we live, to reach this world, then I'm afraid to say, at the least to my assembly, this assembly, Voice of Pentecost Church, that as we who in turn are taking the chance of us in our lives and in the confines of our city of losing our claim to being the ones who one day will be called faithful. As it is we, or maybe you who stands before God, and that God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In choosing the narrow road, by choosing not to seek to fill our churches by looking like, becoming like, and more like the world is, it is we who then will have not traded what the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for in the first place. Amen. And it is I who believes in the sight of others who will be the ones to declare. You might criticize the method, but you're going to envy the results. Finally, tonight in the book of Matthew, chapter 22. The book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse number 14. Matthew 22 and 14, it is Jesus here who declares, "For many shall be called, but few are chosen." And it is I tonight who concludes with the coinciding scripture that we've already read tonight, Revelation chapter 17, second portion, verse 14. "And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." What should you hear me tonight, church? It doesn't matter what they or others are doing or have done. I'm not accountable to them. But those who have placed yourself under this ministry, what it is that I say as your pastor, what I'm asking you and you're walking with God to do is to follow me as I follow Christ. Well, I don't believe what he says. I don't agree with it. If I'm in the book, it doesn't matter what you think. Follow me, Paul said. And this pastor says, as I follow Christ. See, when it's all said and done, and it's we and it's you who stands before God, let your end of life testimony be this: Jesus called you faithful. Let's stand together tonight. You know, sometimes things can look almost too good to be true. And the reason for this, more times than you might ever know, is because the mirage that stands before you is one that Satan may have purposely placed there in his desire to steal from you what it is that he had lost. And that was his right to be called faithful. "When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, my foot nigh well slipped." Ah, pastor, would you look at that, church? They're growing leaps and bounds. Ah, man, you know how much they brought in an offering on Sunday? Wow, you wouldn't believe it. Look at the blueprint. Look what they've thrown out. Look what they've let go of. Could it be this pandemic? What if it's a test from God? They got all kinds of conspiracy theories. Well, I think it's this, and I think that country did that. Well, what if God said, you know what? I'm going to weed out the chaff from the wheat. What if, you know, I want to see what happens. And somebody had sent us a little picture. It was a picture of a kitty cat, and it said apostolics in the year 2010. They had their teeth, the cat had its teeth bared and his claws were up there. It was hissing, you could just see it. Eyes were wild with fire. And then it had another caption right next to it, apostolics in the year 2020. And there sat that cat with his head on a little pillow, just purring away. What if God says, you know what, I'm going to find out where my people go. I'm going to find out who's really called? Who is it that I've chosen? And most importantly, who it is that is faithful? Whether you're here tonight or you're listening online, I'm going to ask you to find a place to pray. Just talk to God. Say, God, look into my heart. Do I stand where I need to stand? Am I who I need to be? Jesus is coming back. For church, for a people that are looking and longing, folks, for his return. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the faithful. Thank you, God, for the privilege that I have to walk with you, serve you in spirit and in truth. I'm not coming down. I'm not selling out. I'm not switching horses, God. There's only one way, there's only one truth, there's only one life, just like there's only one.